Today is Wednesday of Holy Week. Traditionally, today is the day that the Church commemorates the Iscariot, agreeing to present our Lord at the most opportune time, in the most opportune turn in history. The liturgy today, the doctors of the Church, and even the better modern minds of our time remind us that the Psalms are typically prophetic, pointing to the silver price paid for what the Iscariot did, that this was the key act to be done that would appear to leave the apostles cast into the outer darkness, but that it is always darkest just before the bright glory of the triumph. In this case, God's triumphant victory over sin was not evident to the apostles until days later, and that darkness began to appear on the day we commemorate today. My hope is that beginning today, I can present to you proper reflections framed in the events and state of the Church in our time that are appropriate to the days of the Holy Week. Do not forget that this is the most important liturgical week of the year for the Church, and our minds should be fixed firmly on our own sins, the triumph of Christ over everything. And the news of the day do point to this as well, for I know that many of us feel that we now reside in the ascension of the dark, that show that at least momentary triumph of the modern Iscariots over everything. But remember, Christ's victory will come, and when it does, it will be as sudden as the resurrection. Let's get into the stories of the day that illustrate this. And what better example of the influence and presence of the spiritual brethren of the Iscariot is there than of those prelates who seek to bless which the Church has said it can't? Those prelates and clergy who seek to take the document from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which affirmed some rather basic and should be obvious teaching of the Catholic faith, that the world and all of its would-be Caesars do not and cannot accept. And instead of siding with the Church, those prelates and the clergy have decided to side with Caesar. I can think of no better example of the present Iscariot in our midst in our times than in this story that I keep having to come back to because it keeps evolving and taking up more and more of the Catholic reporting. The Cardinal of Vienna, Christoph Schönborn, is now our perfect example of this spirit and this strange but all too predictable turn that has come in the Church these past weeks. When he said publicly that he is not happy about the Vatican's assessment, that the Church will just keep on saying what it has always said, and that Pastor Jimmy Martin is, according to Schönborn, the one who's in the right. According to Schönborn, these things may be blessed if the request for the blessing is honest and really the request for God's blessing, for a life path that those in that situation are trying to walk, then they will not be denied the blessing. Now, if that didn't make that much sense, don't blame me. Schönborn's words are difficult to decipher. But what he is saying is that there is virtue that can be present in what the CDF has declined to bless in the name of just saying the same thing the Church has always said, and that we should seek out virtues that seem to be present in everything and bless that. Now, I'm confused personally about how we can see virtue in these sorts of things, but he says that the Church can bless this if people are living on the basis of human virtue. Now, consider that for a moment. Human virtues. It's an interesting concept to be sure, but this gives the game away. There is no talk here of the commands of God, how God sort of just established all that we see. No, just human virtues. And this goes beyond the era of works-based doctrine that some always say Catholics teach. This ventures into the territory of this cardinal and his coterie believing they know better than our Blessed Lord. That is, of course, the spirit of the Iscariot on full display, seeking the approval of the world for a few pieces of silver that bear the dirty image of Caesar upon them. In this case, Schönborn is an interesting example. He had long since been compared to Benedict XVI in his theology, often cited by many as among the better hermeneutic of continuity bishops who sought to chart a path that united the preconciliar Church with the Church of the New Advent, as some have called it, that emerged after the Council. Schönborn was often spoken about in similar ways that some speak about Cardinal Burke now. If that sounds now slightly ridiculous, but don't worry, it should. And don't forget, I'm not a hermeneutic of continuity guy. But Schönborn had been considered one of the better bishops in the hierarchy by many just a few short years ago. Now he sides with Caesar, and his voice among the clergy, Pastor Jimmy. I am often asked how the Church found itself in this place. How did the Church find itself where even those formerly considered to be among its brighter minds in the present day are among those calling to embrace the vision of Caesar, to bless that which it just has said that it can't? Many ask how these prelates find it easy to simply reject what sacred scripture has said on some things that are so clear that anyone really should be able to understand them. How did this happen? Like the Iscariot, our prelates partner with Caesar for silver. The various conferences of bishops actively seek to partner with Caesar on various initiatives and programs to the tune of countless dollars, often in amounts that rival the portion of the Sunday collections that from all of their parishes and their dioceses combined that they get every year. It is only natural when someone is asked to choose between two strikingly different things when money is involved that they choose the one that has a better reward attached to it. And as we are talking about theologians who embrace modernism, the concerns of Catholic theology often wither away, as modernist theology believes that the gospel and what the church has to say on pretty much anything can evolve over time. Teilhard de Chardin, whom I have been mentioning a lot lately, looms large. He stands hand in hand with the Iscariot, making clear that our times are really nothing new in the church at all. That instead we see a continuity between the man who on Holy Thursday would greet our Lord with a kiss and the figures like Schönborn, Martin, and even the German Bishops' Conference, who recently said that they will forge ahead with their planned synod, despite Francis asking again them to stay in line with the church as a whole. And now they're fueled by a CDF statement and their desire to hold the hand of Caesar. Speaking of the church in Germany, Archbishop George Gonswein, Benedict XVI's secretary and omnipresent hovering presence, spoke recently about all of this and described the church overall as not being in a terribly great situation, which speaks to the claim that Benedict is trying desperately to manage the present mess things are in. Gonswein says the current internal arguments are a situation that the church has not seen in several centuries, comparing the internal factions to that of the period during the Reformation. Every bishop in Germany has a different answer about how to resolve all of this, he says, which is, of course, characteristic for diabolic disorientation, like what everything right now must be. But what characterizes this internal Catholic debate? Simply whether the gospel of man or the gospel of Christ will prevail. That is really at the core of what we're talking about here. Don Prosper Geringer, in his Meditation on Holy Wednesday, describes what the Iscariot was doing and how we commemorate every Wednesday traditionally with some degree of discipline in our lives in order to remember this deal the Iscariot made with the world. How many of you knew that, by the way, that on Wednesdays we should almost consider treating that day the same as we do Fridays? Think about that. Lent, Don Prosper Geringer reminds us, begins on Holy Wednesday, and often on this day we ask how it is that the Iscariot and those he worked with could have forgotten that King David, when penning the Psalms, foretold of all of this, right down to the amount of silver involved, and in our time, how these prelates could have forgotten about the promised triumph of our Lord. How is it that they have forgotten that our Lord wanted us to be one, that our blessed Lord also said that when he returned he would find little in the world regarding those who followed him? That St. John's revelation is filled with accounts that sound like prelates walking with Caesar, and the faithful left as a remnant. How is it that the prelates have forgotten that they are the shepherds in the service of Christ, whom the church is now preparing to commemorate the path of his victory? And while we do that as Catholics, these same shepherds walk with Caesar, instead of walking the Via Dolorosa with our Lord. And the answer is simple. Our Lord took his walk on Good Friday, mostly alone. His apostles, mostly not present. Certainly, St. John was there, but the rest were not. The same is true today. There are some good members of the hierarchy who strive to serve our blessed Lord, as well as can be expected, given the culmination of modernism. But unlike in those times, when 11 of the 12 were not present, not out of partnership with Caesar, but because they knew what would happen if they were seen with our Lord, instead, many have decided to render unto Caesar what does not belong to him, and in that we hear the sound of silver coins being handed to the Iscariot. It is Holy Wednesday. On this day, I do remind you to pray for the church, and to unite the end of your Lent with our blessed Lord. Attend a Holy Week liturgy if you can. Go to the sacrament of penance and prepare yourself spiritually and physically for the triumph of the Feast of the Resurrection. And I would bet that this week, many of you, probably myself included, will feel greater temptations to whatever it is that we as individuals have to deal with that always sends us to the confessional. Be prepared for that, and make sure that you know when confession is offered near you. This is the biggest week of the year for Catholics, and do not forget the lessons of our time that are connected to the triumph of our Lord that we observe this week, culminating in Sunday. I thank everyone who supports the work of this channel, either by Patreon or being having clicked that join button or through the old-fashioned mail or whatever, or even with their prayers. Trust me, I just definitely appreciate the prayers that you offer on my and my family's behalf. And I ask again that you pray for the church. Like, comment, subscribe, and of course, click the notification bell if you haven't, it all does help me out when you do. But am I right that the spirit of the Iscariot is the best way to characterize our time in the church now? Let me know in the comments, please. Thanks for listening. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.